If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes. I am joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
What's up, Tim?
And the Nitro
Rifle. I said, what's up, Tim?
So much is up, Greg. So much is up. I didn't expect that. There was a volume there. There was like a pitch that was hit. There's a ringing in the ear. Do you hear it? Nitro Rifle Andy Cortez.
He didn't even have a Coke.
No Coke?
No Coke. No Coke today. Don't no Cokes, it. But some beefs will be settled.
Some beefs will be settled. Yes, there will be blood.
I have some beefs to settle with this fucking show.
The whole company, actually.
This whole company.
And he's been talking shit all day.
I mean, should I get to it now? Or we just wait.
Get to it now. What do we got the beef with?
Y'all play this game called Dragon's Dogma 2? Anybody? Anybody here?
Too busy playing Rise of the Ronin.
Anybody here? Play a game called Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah, we talked about it. I think it was last week. We talked about it.
Downfall of the fucking company when Greg Miller walked up to me and said, Andy, I think Bless is going to drop off of Rise of the Ronin. Can you keep playing Rise of the Ronin and not go to Dragon's Dogma 2? And I said, sure, Greg. Whatever helps out the company. And little did I know that I'd be stuck with the most fucking boring video game mediocre shit of all time. Meanwhile, everybody said, let's go Dragon's Dogma 2. Let's go play Dragon's Dogma 2. And then tried it out for maybe 2 hours and said, it's just not for me. It's not what I want right now. And little did you all know that you have been missing out on the fantasy epic of the goddamn century. This game is fantastic. This game is marvelous, Tim. Holy shit. You all don't even know, man. Play the video game, Greg.
Yeah, boring to boring. It's moment to moment, boring to boring.
And you're, you know what I mean?
Boring to boring. It's boring to boring, Andy.
There's a goblin over here. All right. Meanwhile, Rise of the Ronin, I'm dressed in this business suit. I'm choking motherfuckers out with his grappling hook. Yeah. I'm petting cats left and right.
I didn't even mean to get mad at Rise of the Ronin. I don't hate Rise of the Ronin. It's just like I would have much rather have played Dragon's Dogma 2 because once I was able to sink my teeth into it, we did the Rise of the Ronin review, and I said, I'm good. I put in 20 hours. I'm good with this experience. There's nothing there that's like bringing me in to do more, to play more of it. So I started Dragon's Dogma 2, and this is already, the internet's already been talking about it. So I'm like, we'll see if it lives up to what everybody on the internet's saying. Everybody's mad about microtransactions. You should be mad about the frame rate because, like, you know, it's an RE engine game, and we know that Capcom is not great at making their games like run great. And sometimes there's like going to be frame rate issues. Sometimes reflection is going to look like dog shit. But it's still an RE engine game, and it's Capcom. And I know that whenever I'm not in towns, the game's going to run better. And the game is fantastic. It's one of the most like alive feeling games I've ever felt. It feels so dynamic.
You have a lot more to say about Dragon's Dogma. We'll save that for that. I thought you were just going to bring up your beef in the beginning, okay? We have a new game to talk about, Andy.
This fucking company.
We already heard people's thoughts on Dragon's Dogma.
This goddamn company. I read the comments. I was like, wow, everybody's mad about in the comments.
You should have been there for the review, Andy.
Surely they shouldn't. They're not. Why wasn't I here for the review?
I think you did Rise of the Ronin.
You were playing Rise of the Ronin.
You're too busy playing that.
I was like ready to sit down on the fucking desk. It's like, oh, I'm not on this. All right. I'm going to go play Rise of the Ronin. Let me go pet a cat for the 18th time and get 6 XP and fucking have 0.2 more stamina. Like, this fucking game, dude.
He's leaving out that this increases your bond, though, for the district, and you can get better prices from the black market. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
Are you going pro-Shogun or anti-Shogun?
I was anti-Shogun. Yeah. I'm against the establishment, too.
We'll talk more about Dragon's Dogma, and I'm sure Rise of the Ronin, because Greg will insist sometime later in the show, but this is the Kind of Funny Games cast, where each and every week we get to talk about video games, all the things we love about them, all the things that that are mediocre about them, and everything in between. Thank you so much for supporting us. If you have the Kind of Funny membership, you're supporting us at the greatest tier possible.
Hey,
that reaches very, very nicely into our
hearts.
You're the
greatest generation.
You are the greatest generation. You get the shows ad free.
You're supporting people, you know?
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a tagline or something.
Listen, I get it. My grandfather fought in World War II, but did he ever support me on Patreon or YouTube? No, he didn't.
You're right.
He's right, everybody. You can be better than
Take
Greg's grandpa.
Take that purple heart, sell it at the thrift store. Take that money. Kind of Funny membership.
Did he die in the war?
No, purple heart is when you get wounded.
What happens when you die in the war? Blue heart?
I mean, usually you die, and then they bring your casket back. You ever see Pearl Harbor?
Oh, man.
She was in love with both of them.
That's
what the war settled. Who come free?
And you also get a daily exclusive show. Thank you very much to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining. You allow all these shenanigans to continue happening. But like I was saying, this is the Gamescast. We're talking about video games. Andy was already talking about some beefs, but I had to stop him because we got to get new, fresh thoughts on a new, fresh game, Stellar Blade. Andy Cortez, I do want you to start this one off, even though Greg did play as well.
I played the entire demo, everybody. No big deal.
Here, how about you? No, you know, here's the thing. Get Greg's thoughts
so then I can write
the record.
Okay, let's do that. Greg Miller, you've played the demo of Stellar Blade. What did you think?
Come on in, Barrett. Ryan, crop him out. Come on in, Barrett. Thank you, buddy. Okay. Listen, this is what you would, at surface level, look at and go, not going to be a Greg game. But PlayStation sent us the demos for review. Thank you so much, PlayStation. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to jump in there and I'll see what this is all about. And I'll just say this. Y'all are weird. You know what I mean? Like, this is what you'd play. This is what you'd enjoy. There are great visual novels out there you could be playing. Walking simulators you could be playing. Rise of the Ronin.
not this food, Greg.
it's definitively not a Greg game, but it is beautiful. I can see the action people really enjoying and stuff like that, but I'm not that action guy. I'm not that Bayonetta guy. I'm not that. I would even go as far as what
Devil usually
sort of platinum,
almost.
Right? Platinum yeah. games and stuff like that. Like, that just isn't my jam. And so, like, I think the quality is incredibly high, but for me, the fun wasn't in terms of just like, okay, like, I don't like this parry as much as I'm enjoying it in other games that'll remain nameless at this moment. You know, I don't enjoy this sword play as much as I'm enjoying other games.
There's not enough of them.
I don't enjoy that I can be against a shogunate. I won't mention one name.
I'm having too much fun today. But yeah, like, in general, it's just like, okay, like, this is like traditional Japanese action game that I would be like, I usually wouldn't turn my head. This one I wanted to be part of the conversation, and I also always want to give things a shot, right? Like, I love being caught off guard, but it was like, I see what's going on, and I don't think I'll be returning to this one.
I'm gonna say, before I give my thoughts, this is something Tim needs to play this demo.
Yeah, I wanted to, I just didn't have time.
This is very much up your alley, Tim.
Also, really quick, I did see in this trailer that came out a couple of months ago, one of the side quests, find the cat, Greg.
Oh, shit.
Right, you're winning me back. You're winning me back. All right.
Find the cat. Yeah. Go against the shogunate. Rise against it. This is going to be like my Eliza P of this year.
Oh,
I really, really enjoyed my time with this. This is... It has a lot of Nier Automata vibes in terms of like the setting and this sort of desolate world and having your little robot companion always kind of floating with you, which I really love because in a lot of moments, the game is extremely gorgeous and the robot buddy also casts light, and that light casts a shadow. So sometimes enemies are being lit in a cool way, like in a dark room.
I was appreciative of their ping system, too, where you ping and it sends the blurb out through the entire world.
You get that full
world,
scan.
And then you're seeing, like, oh, there's credits over there, and there's things over there. And the same thing with getting off the beaten path. There was a few different ways of, like, go this way, and we'll go the other way. Oh, here's this whole jungle gym of things I need to swing on to get to, in a bigger sense of exploring that world. I'd love to see.
How long was the demo?
About an hour.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. It's very much super flashy, super over the top action, but it's very much still like Liza P combat, I would say. Not quite Sekiro, but you are going to be trying to either dodge away from attacks or parrying attacks at the right time to then build up that stagger meter on the enemy and then go in for that big killer hit or whatever. But the ability, it's not like as. you want to be a bit more stylish and over the top, just how the action is with your with the combat as well, because you have a lot of abilities that lend itself to not, you're not just kind of waiting there, waiting for the attack and then going in for your hit and then standing back. You're not, it's not that methodical. It looks a lot flashier, like a Devil May Cry type game, where the moves that you have are super cool looking. They're artfully really well done. The world is super interesting, but again, it all comes down to the combat being fun and noticing that enemy always has a sort of three-hit combo, and these enemies are also disgusting, but really kind of neat-looking as well. And
that Starro one they got, right? Like the flying starfish, I thought was really cool and also disturbing.
Parry at the right time to then go and follow up with that, you know, attack whenever you get to your bonfires. The bonfire is meant to be your place to
get your
heals back, and then you can go to a little vending machine to buy items or look at your skill set and maybe, you know, get a new ability on the skill tree. And I think the demo does a great job of kind of tutorializing that and letting you know, hey, go for this move next, because this move, if you do a perfect dodge, then you can follow up with like an extra cool special move or whatever.
Yeah, Blink was one that I was enjoying. It was, you know, recommended obviously by the demo or whatever, but, you know, do the perfect dodge and then you could warp behind them, get the shots on their back. I like that.
And it's just, get them back shots going essentially. Uh-huh. It's just gorgeous. It has a great sense of action. It has a great sense of scale as well with a lot of these enemies and exploration. I don't think there's like anything it's doing incredibly amazing when it comes to level design and things like that, but it's got your standard sort of, hey, this door's locked, that's probably going to be a shortcut later. Sure enough,
you've got the memory stick off this guy, so you have a passcode for the next door you come to.
Yeah, I even enjoyed like finding little random treasure chests, but it's locked by a code. Where haven't I been that I haven't necessarily explored? Oh, this dude had a little code on it. Let me go back to that little treasure
chest.
And
I think that would be one of my knocks against it, is that I liked all this stuff, but I didn't find it in abundance of it. I felt, and granted, it's a demo, right? It's an hour slice of this game, but it felt very much like, oh, you got the code. Okay, there's the door. It's like, I'd rather it be, I think it's something like Stray, where I would find a code on the wall, or I'd find something that was locked and not know, and like way later in the world find it, like, oh, this is for that thing way back there.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I didn't get that vibe. One of my knocks against games of this ilk that I have tried, again, I'm not invested all the way in, is that I often feel like, oh, it's a beautiful world, but it doesn't feel, not real, because that's exaggerated, right? But it doesn't feel like this, A is here for B. It's not A is here for me to get to Z with it, or get to Y with it, or get some other weird way with it. It's very much like this, then that.
It's a bit more scripted,
A
bit more design in that sense.
A little stiffer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What I would like to call out again is, not being the action guy, was the cinematography in the very beginning and stuff. I thought they did a really great job of, you know, you're in this giant ship, you all have to evac because you're getting your asses whooped, you land, you come out of it, then it's all like somewhat sexy sexual or whatever, you're getting pulled out of this thing and the things be thanging, and then it's like, okay, cool, this is happening. But
things
then it was like
jiggling,
when you're in like this boss fight with your friend or whatever, and like you come up and you're like, you'd like, it like slows down. It's like Matrix-y kind of, not Matrix, but like action movie slow down as you're doing the really cool shit. So I can see Blessing sitting there with his mic on. No, oh shit. Like, you know, like Blessing always does.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Blessing did write into me on slack.com, just like you can. And says, since I'll be out during the Stellar Blade preview, can you please read my written preview on the show? It goes as follows. Extremely my shit. Blessing idea.
Well, there we go. The little robot guy you have with you is not like Nier Automata, where it like shoots out or anything. It just kind of just helps you out and lets you
more like a Navi.
Yeah, it kind of gives you hints. It's essentially your homie Adam, who's back in the ship and he's controlling this little robot, and it's kind of like his drone. Kind of reminds you of it reminded me of the flying version. Like if the legs in the back of the little robot, Greg, kind of like came down, it would look like the MK robot in Metal Gear Solid Guns of the Patriots.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Blessing. I think this is also extremely my shit, especially it's like the more flashy, stylish version of what Lies of P or a lot of Souls-like are.
So I'm interested here, because like I didn't get the Souls vibes from it at all until you bring comparing it to Lies of P and then bringing up bonfires and things like that, because like looking at it and everything I've heard, Bayonetta, Devil May Cry, those things come up, but watching the gameplay even, it's like, oh, Devil May Cry and Bayonetta, to an extent, way more combo-based of, like, how long can you keep your combo going? How stylish can you be? Whereas Lies of P, you know, a little more action-based than it seems like some of the Souls games can be, but it is still very far from that like stylish combo. Where does this fall closer to Lies of P?
This is closer to Lies of P. To me, it's Lies of P with a like Devil May Cry Bayonetta sort of like candy coating on it. Okay. Like it's, you still have to be very thoughtful with your attacks. You can't just go in there and button mash and hope to kill the dude before they kill you, because they're going to attack and their stagger meter may not be broken and they're going to hurt you pretty hard and it might take away half your health and you're going to have to back away and go, oh shit, I have to kind of rethink how I'm going about this little combat encounter. But when I bring up the flashiness of those games like Bayonetta and like Devil May Cry, it all comes down to the special additive abilities, because it's with Lies of P, you had like, or even like an Elden Ring, you have like your weapon art or whatever, and that's always like, sure, you can slash with a light attack, or you could do a heavier attack that's charged, or you can do your special move when that little meter builds up or whatever. And here you have four separate things that you can add on to your weapon arts, and they vary from not just a lot of different moves that are super flashy and fast and cool looking, they're gonna really pack a punch against this enemy, but one of them may be more designed to break the shield of the enemy and break the stance as opposed to do damage, you know? So there's going to be some strategy going in there. We didn't get to experience that a whole lot, because when you beat the demo, you're then offered the chance to do a boss rush sort of thing. But it's mainly just like, hey, you know that boss that you fought at the end of the demo? Now you get to fight him in a new area, but you have a much more of your kit available to you. And it's like clearly a much higher level version of you that you were playing.
Did you pop into that?
I did, yeah. And a lot more availability of moves there, a lot cooler looking shit. Like this game just gets more and more slick as you keep on unlocking these extra moves, because when you are able to sort of combo together these moves, when you see the enemy about to attack you and it's like flashing blue and you know, oh, that means I want to dodge this because I can't necessarily parry this move or whatever. And then you flash through them and you're behind them for the backstab and you hit them with the backstab, then you can also combo together with one of your other like weapon arts, your specialized moves. That's where the game starts to get really over the top, and that's where you get into those really stylish like slow-mo segments where suddenly it's a cutscene and she's stabbing the dude in the chest and then like moving the sword up, and it's all awesome. And it's always accompanied by some, and it's like the beginning part, some like lady is singing in the music. It's like, oh, they got like vocals on this track. Interesting.
Yeah. Really great HUD too. Like great HUD. I like your health, your enemy's health. Barrett showed it earlier in some of the stuff there. Like when you came up against the first, not boss, but bigger enemy, and it had it up there and it was like in white dots and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah. Their minds are in the right spot of like making the world interesting and making the boss fights fun, rather than like maybe going for a purely difficult, crushing experience, because it's still difficult in some spots. Like it's not like you're going to completely breeze through the demo. Mm-hmm. There will be moments where you have to notice that this enemy is doing certain attacks, and you could probably be smarter than I was when I played Lies of P and preferred the parry combat. And when those three swings are coming and it's punch, punch, wait for it, punch. And then you go, oh shit, I can memorize that little attack. And whenever that thing flashes, it's going to come at me with that sort of combo or whatever. You can try to parry, or you could dodge and just be a little bit smarter about it. But I prefer the more punishing, difficult style of parrying. Greg, which were you kind of leaning towards?
I'm a dodge boy. Okay. I like dodging. And so I felt in the beginning, dodging felt sluggish. And then when they started teaching you perfect dodge, I was like, oh, okay, here's where it can start opening up, let alone the skill tree when you start investigating what can happen if you perfect dodge and go on this way. I was like, okay, I can see where this is going to open up more to get to where I wanted to be. I think more than anything, what I found interesting was played through the whole thing, didn't find it difficult. I didn't find it easy either. But I mean, like, you know, I'm not the Souls guy. I don't want to be punished. I don't want to be there. Again, you know, 15, 20 minutes in, I'm like, yeah, this isn't a Greg game, but I want to see it all the way through for the discussion. Got to that final boss, did the classic, got him down to like a little bit of health, and he got me. I was like, damn it. And I'm like, well, I don't really. I put it onto story mode just because. And I was impressed that when you drop it for story mode, then it showed me like it like slows down of like, okay, here's where you should be dodging, here's where you should be blocking. Cool. And like I was blocking like I do block in another samurai game that I won't talk about, which is just hold it, right? And that I didn't realize in this one it was like they wanted me to block every time they swing at me differently, and I was like, oh well, that's why I could have easily beaten the boss if I knew that. So like I learned something from that, which I thought was interesting.
That's
turned off story mode, came back, got the guy, you know what I mean? I was like, that's a helpful almost in-game tutorial, or if you wanted to play it the other way, it kind of felt like a quick time event where it was like the button pops up and like there's a cooldown circle around it where I could still screw it up and die, but it was like, if you want it to be easy, we'll do it this way, but if you want to learn too, it's a great way to learn.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. I didn't know they were going to do that. Yeah. The demo doesn't let you remap buttons, unfortunately, but it does have like some other really neat options of making the subtitles bigger, adding the color for the speaker. I really enjoy when subtitle options are offered there. And also in the gameplay menu of the settings, because there's like sound and visuals and all that. And under gameplay, you get to decide whether you want a long ponytail or a short ponytail.
Oh,
very important.
Yeah. And so whenever you do the boss rush mode,
they're grabbing at the ponytail. It's too short.
Because I didn't notice that, like, how cool the hair physics are when, like, when you whip around, they'll like completely whip around you, and her hair's down like her ankles.
Oh, shit.
And like the hair will just kind of like slowly be moving. And if you move, like, it just looks really kind of cool and impressive. And Tim, did you know that her, a fun fact, this character Eve, her sword is like in her head? It's really weird. It looks like a bow. It looks like part of like
a
bow coming out of her hair. But then when you bust the sword out, or like when you put the sword back, she brings it back and it looks like she's just kind of like disappearing. But then the hair piece is like her sword. It's very, very odd.
I didn't notice this. This
is it's like Bayonetta, who like wears a demon and she fights with it, and then she's all naked. She fights with her outfit and her hair sometimes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
A lot of shit going on.
Also, there's just like,
so you're saying the thing tying her hair together is the
those metal pieces kind of going down. It's cool. Fascinating. I will say, like, I think the hot topic is like the jiggle physics, right? Very, very like overly sexy game. It doesn't make sense gravity wise, how this suit looks. With the amount of jiggle there is, it's like, I think they'd be more constrained in that.
Jiggle aside, because yeah, obviously it's like incredibly over the top, like to the point that I've said this now multiple times, but like, I don't like the look of the game because of how just jiggly it all is, where I'm just like, and if you like that stuff, that's totally cool. There's no judgment from me. It's more, there's a line that it crosses where I'm just like, this just feels icky and weird. Is the vibe of it icky and weird, though, or is it just things jiggle more than they should?
No, I don't think the vibe is
cool,
icky and weird. I will say, though, like, in this demo, and again, this is mainly, like, recency sort of stuff, because I just finished playing a game for about 20 hours that I will not mention here.
Damn, Russ.
But where, you know, in the beginning of that game that, you know, we were talking about a little earlier, Greg, like, in this demo, they kind of hit you with some cutscenes that were like, whoa, that was kind of shocking emotionally. I wasn't necessarily expecting to kind of react in that way. And I was like, man, Rise of the Ronin kind of did something similar right at the beginning of the game that like I just didn't feel anything from. And maybe that was just like maybe that's a look of the game. Maybe because this
maybe
game looks,
they weren't naked.
Maybe there wasn't any jiggling. Yeah. But I do think that like this game is so presentationally high caliber that it's something that you should at least check out if you have a PS5 and want to download the demo, because it's a really, really pretty game. And there's also three different visual modes that I'm not sure exactly.
Balanced performance, and then the other one, fidelity.
And
what they call it, fidelity.
Yeah, and the thing I'm wondering with balance is, like, I felt like I was getting a consistent 60 frames at around maybe 1200 or 1440p. And then the 30 frames mode was probably your 4K up-res or whatever it is. But performance, I'm wondering, is that 120 frames per second?
No way. You think so?
Dang, I don't know. For this type of game, that would be very impressive.
It would be insanely impressive. But, like, why would they, unless it's like, hey, you're getting a
locked 60.
You're getting a locked 60 as opposed to a game that might dip into the 50s or whatever. But even on the balanced mode, which I recommend playing on because I didn't experience any sort of frame rate issues.
That's great.
Even if it was like, hey, you're not getting a guaranteed 60 here, it still felt super fluid and awesome. Yeah, I think this is a demo that everybody should check out. I think they...
Friday, right?
Yeah, Friday. There's a lot of moments where they kind of... It reminds me of doing our Lies of P review where it's like, oh, they went to like the school of From Software. Enemies are just kind of going to blindside you at some moments.
Sure.
just really freak you out. I was like, God damn it. Now I got to look around every wall and just be careful about my surroundings. But so far, super impressed with this. It's always tough for a developer to try to emulate that experience and make you feel the way a Souls game might make you feel. But in this sense, it's doing stuff that I think that like Souls games don't, which is like, hey, we're not going to, obviously From Software makes things look really, really like masterfully cool. And like, oh wow, how awesome is this cutscene and this big dragon or whatever, the grandiose nature of how they sort of implement their boss encounters. Here it was more of like the hype. I felt like I was playing Astral Chain or Scarlet Nexus with like the awesome music sort of backing this moment, everything feeling like super futuristic. It's a good vibe. I really, really dug it.
Do you see yourself playing through the full game when it comes out?
100%.
Do you see it potentially being
a contender? It's possible because with that, early on, I thought it was like okay for what it was going for. Like there was nothing like super amazingly impressive where I was like, holy shit, everybody needs to play this. It wasn't until that first boss encounter.
At the end of the demo.
That
he had a cool design.
Really cool design, but also it was just like, it was a cacophony of like action and music and visuals and everything just sort of hitting at the right moment that felt awesome. And when I beat that boss, I was like, if every other boss can live up to this sort of vibes, similar to like Final Fantasy 16, the same sort of like level of scale or whatever, but if I can feel this way with every boss fight, then like this is a winner. I'm going to feel really, really happy about this at the end of the year.
I can't believe we're getting more Final Fantasy 16 boss fights in a couple of weeks, Holy Andy. Shit. Holy shit. What are you about to say?
One thing I want to call out that I missed, I said, I forget if I called this a Japanese action game or said that I don't usually vibe with Japanese action games.
Korean.
It's worth pointing out that this is a Korean studio, Shift Up.
Yeah.
Mm, interesting.
And really fascinating sort of, I think they were like, hey, there's a lot of mobile games, and this is like one of our first kind of like attempt at a console game. Like we're usually Korea is like very mobile heavy in terms of like the amount of offerings out there. So we really hope you enjoy this. And I was like, wow, y'all
big swing.
Kicked ass here. Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it so far.
Good for them. So that is Stellar Blade. You can get the demo on Friday. We're going to go back to Andy, settle in some beefs that he has with the company of Kinda Funny right after a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. If you want an upgrade, we recommend their premium Color Rush lenses. Crafted with rare earth materials, these lenses bring high impact color to life, elevating reds, blues, and greens. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays, whether it is Tim looking dope doing his Pokemon Go walks, Snow Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange them or return them for free within 30 days. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off polarized sunglasses.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Yeah, so Greg and I had our one-on-one meeting in which a lot of these beefs were called out. And, you know, Greg always asks, like, do you have any issues with anybody at the company? I said, yeah, every one of you.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody on the Gamescast.
We're sitting on that Gamescast. And just, frankly, embarrassing all of us. Nah, man, Dragon's Dogma 2 kicks so much ass, man.
How far are you in right now? Hours-wise.
Probably about 12 or something like that. Okay. But I keep on catching myself ending a stream, and then I just keep playing for 2, 3, 4 more hours at some moments. Yeah, man, this game is just like, it feels so alive. It reminds me of what I love that Monster Hunter does, which is just sometimes happening upon two massive creatures fighting each other.
Yeah.
And it little moments like that just make the world feel alive and not scripted, you know. Kind of just walking along to do this side quest to go deliver something, and then a goddamn massive griffin eagle just pounces my ass out of nowhere and just catches me off guard, terrified. And then random other NPCs just kind of walk in the trail like, oh shit, let's go fight with that guy, you know. This game is kind of like, it's a fantasy, like, it's the fantasy, if that makes sense, yeah. You know, like, this is what you hope for whenever you're playing, this is what I hope the next iteration of Witcher kind of, like, aspires to, these levels of like, impromptu moments that really kind of catch you off guard.
I was going to say, that was the vibe, as early as I was with it, that I could see that they were going for, was what I think most people loved about The Witcher 3, was wandering around, finding these adventures that weren't even the main quest, but felt like they were. They had much love given to them.
Yeah, I'm just really, really digging the structure of it. I'm digging the open-endedness of it. I do want to read a tweet from our good friend, Michael Huber, from Easy Allies, because he tweeted about Dragon's Dogma, and it says, Dragon's Dogma allows me to really take my time and appreciate the journey. No fast travel helps contribute to not worrying about warping everywhere to do endless side quests.
Unless you buy it.
In autopilot. Unless you buy it. He didn't say that. I'm always present, only worrying about what's in front of me. And that reminds me so much of my experience with Elden Ring, of I'm in there. I'm immersed. I am traveling to the next spot, and whatever happens in front of me is like the thing that I'm now going to be concentrating on. I want to help that NPC. I want to recruit that next new dude that's walking down the road that looks awesome as shit. And turns out the current warrior with me is like lower level. So see you later, warrior. I appreciate your time. Thank you for your service. Here's an apple on the way out. You give him a little gift, Tim, whenever you kick him out of your party. I just love the system of it. You create your main pawn. And my main pawn is Rebecca Ferguson, and she's my ride or die. She's my mage.
Does she have the eye patch?
She does not have the eye patch, but I gave her like black paint across her eyes. She just looks sick as shit, dude. But it's just really, really neat in terms of like how the systems work. You know, bringing in other people's pawns from your friends list, seeing what other people are playing. Like, it's really neat that on our stream yesterday, where I created Nick Scarpino and Kevin Coelho as Nick's pawn on Mike's playthrough, I can then open up my friends list and see, oh, I can recruit Kevin to my squad. And you can set your pawn out on quests that, like, hey, recruit my pawn and you'll get this gift, because then they'll help me level up or whatever. Like, it's such a cool strand game in that way, that it feels like such a neat cooperative experience with everybody else on the internet. But yeah, I don't think I've played a fantasy game that feels this alive, and kind of like, this is the gold standard for what I think a lot of fantasy games should strive for in terms of like simulation and feeling real and lived in. Performance mode isn't great, performance isn't great, period. I have a very, very beefy computer, and in cities, I'm barely getting 60 frames per second. And so that sucks. But outside of cities, you know, things are rocking. So it's definitely, it could use some engineering on that side of things. I know Capcom's kind of addressed that already. And that's just part of game development nowadays, you know. You'll hopefully get the fully finished product 6 months after, you know.
What's your gameplay style like? Are you going in there?
I'm a thief. So okay. I selected Thief, which is a dual dagger sort of approach, and which is great because I love being able to then recruit a big warrior type guy to like kind of be the tank of the party, and hopefully it's somebody cool that, you know, gathers a lot of aggro from the enemies, and I can go in there and like just sort of. The thing about the Thief is the Thief has a built-in dash. Okay. That's part of like the fighting kit. So I love being able to know when that big attack is coming. I have enough stamina for this. Let me get behind the enemy and maybe go in for some backstabs. But a part of that kit and a part of like the whole gameplay in general for what melee combat feels like, I was very worried at first because I'm like, this isn't a Souls-like. This doesn't control like a Souls game. I don't know if I'm going to like fully dig this. Mm-hmm. Do I want this experience? And after playing a decent amount of it, this game has like revitalized my hope that games cannot go for that direction and still feel good combat wise. Like I've always been worried that, you know, when first person shooters or, you know, when we would play Halo back in the day and then you started getting more and more games that would implement the sprint button and you're like, first-person shooters without sprint are going to feel really bad from here on out. Yeah. So you need to have a sprint in there, right? And I was kind of worrying that with my melee combat, if it doesn't feel like a Souls-like, is my brain just too broken that I'm like...
This ain't it.
This isn't it. If I don't have that parry, if I don't have a dodge roll, I had those feelings with Tears of the Kingdom where I'm like, man, if I just had a normal dodge roll, this game could be perfect. And this game has kind of like revitalized my hope that not only is my brain not broken, but also it's possible to make combat super fun and engaging without having to only be that style of a game, right? Initially, I was like, well, if the combat's not going to feel like a Souls game, I'll probably go Archer so I can use keyboard, mouse, and like aim to like shoot. And I decided, you know what? With Dragon Age Inquisition, that was like one of the last sort of like medieval games that I played that I was like, I really dug the dual wielding daggers. Sure. Let me go for that vibe here.
Sure.
And it is like so far and away surpassing my expectations of what feels good in combat. And I love igniting my knives on fire,
sick,
hacking and slashing, climbing the dude. I have a rope that kind of like, it's like a, what's the word? Like a grapple, not necessarily grapple, but I can like throw scorpion. It at an enemy's leg.
Scorpion, yeah.
A what?
Scorpion?
Scorpion?
Like, get over here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
kunai.
Sometimes you might get a big enemy like groggy in a sense when you beat them up enough and you can like fucking grapple scorpion their leg and pull their leg out from under them and it'll knock them off balance and they hit the ground. All of that, I think the reason why the game doesn't run so great is because its physics system is way intense, deeper than I really expected. So it's super like CPU heavy. But because of that, I can... you can just jump on that eagle and kind of just, it'll just fly. You're just like stuck here now. Holy shit. I hope I survive this journey, right? Being able to just like roll gigantic boulders into like these little goblin camps or whatever. The game is just it's way more dynamic than I would have ever assumed. I thought it was going to be a lot more like just surface level type fantasy. But they're clearly striving for a lot more than that, which I find super impressive and I find super engaging. It's kind of like exactly what I was hoping it would be. It's a very, very good video game and it's like going to easily be a contender for sure.
Hell yeah. So how much more do you see yourself playing this? Do you see yourself seeing it to the end?
I want to beat it. Yeah. Like wow. I love the vibes of it so far. This system that's sort of started plaguing some people with a system called the Dragon's Plague, where if you encounter a dragon...
In Dragon's Dogma,
your NPCs may start to get sick if you fight it, or if you go to your Rift Stone where you then recruit other players' pawns to like join your party, they may be sick with Dragon's Plague and you don't know it yet.
Spread it, yeah.
And you start knowing that they're sick, some their eyes will slowly turn red and they'll start like not obeying your commands anymore. And they might be acting out, and you're like, what the fuck's up with my NPC? Like, why aren't you not? I'm telling you, go forth or come back and fall back and you're not paying attention to what I'm doing. And it's likely they may be sick with the Dragon's Plague. And you normally want to get those NPCs out of your party quickly. Kill them, throw them off a cliff, do whatever you got to do. But some players have discovered recently that they didn't know that was a system. And kept on playing, wiped out the whole fucking like main village. Every NPC dead. Every NPC dead. Oh, any shit. Quest giver, any shopkeeper, everyone died of this disease. And they're like, what do I do?
That's awesome.
and like, it's such a hardcore mechanic, and it's such a player-unfriendly mechanic, but I love it. I love that there's that opportunity that can happen if you don't... Because whenever you walk out of this little, like, rift area, your NPCs will often say... They've already said it, like, 3 times for me in the last 12 hours or whatever, like...
I feel sick.
Have you heard of Dragon's Plague?
Yeah.
It's this thing that'll happen if... Yeah, you better watch out and make sure, like, the pawns... Make sure us pawns, like, if they start not obeying, and you'll hear the other pawns be like, oh, shit, really? I didn't know that. And it, like in that way, that just feels super alive and dynamic.
Oh, that's awesome,
that these NPCs are talking. But a player had to like spend the next 7 hours reversing this plague and getting a rift stone to then like resurrect everybody, which is still possible, but it's a pain in the ass. I don't know. I love it. I think it's like such a neat, shitty mechanic that's awesome that like really changes the whole game, you know? But you gotta listen for the signs. They were telling you the whole time. You just maybe weren't necessarily noticing in that moment. So it's been circulating more on Twitter of like, hey, here's the clip of me just tossing all my pawns off a cliff. And like one of them, and the last one starts running away. And it's like, that motherfucker knew he was guilty, dude. I just started piecing out.
That's great.
It's awesome, man. It's like, I think one thing that does stink, because I feel like it's going to be very similar to an Elden Ring type story in terms of the outside hardcore gamer hearing about this through social media or hearing about like the fervor there is on the internet for how much people are enjoying it and wanting to play and it not being super player friendly. I think that's going to happen a decent amount, because there is a decent amount this game does not tell you. It's not super upfront with tutorializing a whole lot of things. So that may be to the game's detriment, but I still think that, like, man, if you are super into fantasy games and want to watch like a fantasy world kind of live and breathe around you, I think Dragon's Dogma 2 is like the ideal version of that experience. It's so much fun, dude.
Hell yeah.
I'm really, really enjoying it.
Any other thoughts on Dragon's Dogma?
No, I think maybe we delete the other games cast.
Damn.
Should we start over again?
Yeah. Then we delete it. It's gonna be like a 5 out of 5 for me. Like I'm already like so. I'm just so in love with everything about it. Yeah, I'm just having a blast with it. Fucking Rise of the Ronin, okay.
What are
you doing? What are you doing?
Hey man, it is what it is. I'm getting cats. I'm getting landmarks. I progressed the story to that first big choice or whatever, and I'm like, cool, I'll be back. But I gotta go.
Wait,
get all
how many hours in?
I prefer not to say.
Oh no, really? You're playing a lot.
I'm really. It's like
more than 20 hours.
I'm probably right around 20. I would think now. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the PlayStation front page in a while. It's it is such a great. And this is an interesting thing when we did the review in progress on PS I Love You, right? Where it was like you and Mike said 3. You're walking away. I was like, I think it's a 4 right now, but I forget 7 hours in, 10 hours in, whatever it was. And now it's like that thing where it's like, I totally see the 3 of it, but I still am having such a great time with it. But I'm currently playing it in such a junk food way of it's me with the portal. No,
eat your slop, piggy.
Oink, 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 oink. What a great tweet. But it's me next to Jen, talking to her, watching whatever on TV with the portal, no sound on. And I'm just steamrolling. I'm not moving anything. I've made the first choice between the Shoguns or whatever, the Shogun 8 or whatever it is. And it's like, cool, I'm going to let all the story stuff settle until I've done every district and done everything. And so like, I'm just committed to that. So it'll be interesting to see once I go back to the story and run that, if that, it changes my mind, but if that is... Okay, yeah, it is a 3 or it is a 4 or whatever the hell it is. Not that it matters. I mean, it's just us talking about it. But, like, this is what I'm doing, right? I'm just fucking motoring around the city, dropping on my horse, stabbing people, choking them out, moving on to the next thing. I love the combat system so much. I'm still, going deep into these trees of upgrades of what I want my guy to look like and what I want her to be doing.
I'll tell you one thing that I didn't love about the skill system.
Please.
Or about the skill tree, and I think it's kind of, like, overcomplicating it, is... Yeah. You have skill points.
Let me stop you, right? It's the fact that you have skill points that apply to everything, but then on the charm thing, you have certain charm points. So when you go high enough on a skill point, you now need charm points.
You need like, I have four skill points, but I have one strength point.
Yeah.
And this ability requires two strength points. I'm like, well, why have that at all? Like, I agree. I was really kind of annoyed. I thought that was just like, it's such a small thing, but it's.
But look at this guy with his fucking Wolverine kind of claws. You know what I mean?
Well, oh my God. Hold on. Okay, keep talking. Keep filling time because I was playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth more, yeah. And I'm almost caught up to where I was, and I will not spoil anything. But
here's the fire pipe. It's just a flamethrower. They're like, here you go. I got to take a flamethrower. Why not?
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Fuck up these invading Americans.
One thing I really wanted to bring up was something that we spoke about during our review, and how when you're playing Wolong, or again, I never played the Neo games. I know they're difficult. I know people love them, and I know that like if you're a Souls game, you should at least try them out. But you're in those games, you're fighting like yokai and you're fighting like big spiritual things, right? Monsters and beasts and things of that nature. But again, with this being a game that's somewhat meant to be rooted in realism, you're fighting a lot of humans, right? And we talked about, I'm about to send Barrett a link right now.
We talked about how when you run into these camps, then you fight a boss. It's just a very large person. And I brought up, is it my guy from the American consulate? I was like, he looks like Abraham Lincoln bobblehead you're fighting out there.
Yeah, so.
He's got two axes in this giant, like, Abe Lincoln look ahead. I'm like, this is fucking cool.
This is fucking cool.
Like, so, like, you know, even in Wolong, they gave you, like, the larger than standard human would be, like, sort of like like an E Honda type, okay. Like a Yokozuna, larger set scale. And this dude is a brute. This guy is meant to be like this, really tough enemy to take down. But it's clear that Team Ninja was like, how do we make the American version of a brute, right? Because you're also fighting Americans here. Yeah. This game's about like Western influence also kind of taking over and influencing a lot of like a lot of Japan in that moment. And so the link that I sent Barrett should be perfectly time-coded, hopefully.
Perfectly time-coded.
But if not, it's at the 47 minute and 56 second mark. Yeah. This is the American brute guy that you take on.
Paul Bunyan. You're taking on fucking Paul Bunyan.
And if you play a little bit more, you'll see a separate shot of it, Barrett, that I was just laughing because I was essentially, I was, look how fucking
awesome.
Look how massive. It. And somebody's like, it looks like you, Andy. I wasn't too happy about that.
I mean, his mustache's not connecting to the
not connected to the beard. Yeah. But it's just like, you know, it's one thing to see like larger than life, sort of Yokozuna E Honda type character that's like massive, but they're like, "What the American guy? Give him two axes, give him a button down shirt, and make him 12 feet tall."
He's so tall.
This man's head is the size of like your torso. It's the funniest fucking thing ever. This thing made me laugh so much the first time.
And
I
was telling you when I went into the American consulate and this guy popped up to fight me, and I was just like, "I love this game.
Kicks ass.
I love this.
This is it. This is everything I've asked for." Yeah,
Baron, I'm sending one to assets, but it's just a video off my phone, so it's, I don't know if that's easy to pull up or hard to pull up or whatever, but it's just another one of like, this is one of those things I clipped, and I clipped it, and then it's like it came back a week later or whatever, days later, and I was like, oh, this isn't as cool as I think it was, as it felt, but it's still fucking cool. I'm just like, what this game experience is for me or whatever, of running around and just checking off boxes, killing all these things, watching a documentary on my phone, you know what I mean?
Hey dog, give me a little fist pound right now. It's about to be us in Destiny 2 soon.
Oh my God, come on now.
Are you ready?
My Ghostbuster stuff's all set. You know it. I'm locked in.
Because that's going to be us. I mean, it's just, number go higher.
I jump off the thing. I fly down. I'm like, all right, cool. Call my horse, land down. First off, I'm also dressed like a fucking...
I love that you're dressed like this.
I'm dressed
like a Jabberwocky.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm just, oh, here's this ledge. Oh, that's where I need to go. And just fucking gone. You know what I mean?
It's like...
And then
the transition from glider to horse and off is,
and you
very,
can land on
cool.
the horse as we saw in one of the other
so
clips,
tight.
Right? But like,
yeah, if you call the horse in midair, that sucker's gonna run right.
But yeah, I look like
you.
Fucking Marty McFly. You know what I mean? I'm like,
why are you wearing that hat?
I love it. Like, little fedora, milady. You know
any
I mean?
Of the Western suits? I'm like, get this shit out of here. I want a suit and tie. I want like a fucking cool show.
Right now, I almost sent you on. Right now, the build I have her in, I think it looks like Bloodborne. Because it's like a long jacket and then like, you know, the
little trench coat.
Yeah, exactly. And like, then I'm just wearing a white headband. Looks dope.
I saw somebody make, which is something that I wanted to do when I was playing. It was like, I should have made the blue eye samurai in this game.
Mm.
And because you can get the little circular glasses
yeah.
that aren't orange, unfortunately, but still it's pretty neat. Does this mean that you're going to watch Shogun now?
I was never like anti-Shogun, the show or whatever.
It's but you're just, anti-Shogun you
know,
shows. It.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, shows.
What about, what do you mean?
I'd rather play stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We were watching Poor Things, and I was like, I'm just going to start playing. I'm going to start playing something on Portal. This movie's fine. It's fine.
You're just giving me Nick vibes right now. I'm not
what? I know who I'm. I admit who I am. Throw away all the shows. I don't care. Just let me play games.
Really? Get rid of media.
No, I don't need it. Just leave it with video games. I'll be happy.
God.
That's bullshit.
Andy and I played 3 hours of Princess Peach Showtime
yes,
today.
Yes, you did. How did that go?
I have updated thoughts after the demo. They're not too different. Very in line with where I was at.
This is your first time playing? You haven't played it?
We started from the beginning, so I did have to replay the demo stuff, which like I feel was... if not 100% the same, like 90-something percent the same.
Okay.
And yeah, great time overall. I'm still let down that like the game's not more because I see where it can be. There's so much about the game. Yeah. There's like that this is very, very cool. I think what the game is important, and I think that the game is going to serve the audience it's intending to very, very well. I do think the $60 price point is still egregious. There's a lot of tech problems with the game that like I know aren't going to bother the little kids playing it, but they're going to bother the adults watching. And the fact that we've seen the loading screen of the curtain no less than 1,000 times today, and every single time it's this choppy mess that like it's just hard for me to
get
over.
It looks like it was made choppy. You can't convince me it wasn't made choppy.
And that's weird, you know? So all those like little like nags out of the way that I just personally can't get over. The game is pretty damn cool when it wants to be, and it can be pretty damn lame when it is not great, right? Like this detective thing we're seeing right now was a major bummer. Like I was having a lot of fun. There's a whole ninja level that was maybe level 3 or 4, and I was like, oh, this is substantially better than the demo. And then we played this little cowboy section, and I was like, there's cool moments
here. Riding a
little
horse, you're lassoing dudes, you know.
There's another one we just did that was, you're a thief, and you have this like grappling hook, and it was pretty cool. Like, not as good as the ninja one, but I was like, there's fun to be had here. And then we get to the Sherlock Holmes one, and it was just like, man, like, I know what I'm supposed to do is just walk around and talk to people and get clues about what I'm looking for. This is not fun. I don't see people having fun with this. It is like, I want it to just be over. Right. And in my frustration of that, I was just trying to click, and I wasn't actually reading. And I'm like, I know I'm playing the game wrong here, but the game isn't fun enough for me to want to play it right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that got a lot more frustrating than I expected it to. But besides that, I would say overall, I'm more impressed than I thought that I would be. Because like, I'd say we played about 10 levels, and 8 of them or so, I was like, oh, cool. They did something cool here. And I definitely want to keep playing more. I hear that it gets better as it goes on. I hear the end's awesome, which I'm not surprised. Like, Nintendo tends to do that with some of its games. They have really crazy epic ends that like make all of the other stuff kind of add up and really be the sum of all the different parts, yeah, right? To come together and just have this amazing moment and leave a good taste in your mouth. And I appreciate that about them, but I just feel like there's just a lot of little decisions here that baffle me a little bit. Like, even the hub world, and granted, full disclosure, I was on stream. I rarely play games on stream. Me and Andy were talking. I was having a great time talking to everybody.
Come on, TikTok.
So we're talking about TikTok.
TikTok,
stuff.
TikTok.
So
it's like, they responded.
Do you want some right now, by the way? I got a bunch of TikTok.
No, I already had three, Andy.
Oh, look at you. Thanks. You only had three. That's 3 times a normal
daily. Doctor's recommended amount, right? But it's we all play games differently, and I like to lock in when I'm playing games. So like, it's hard for me, even with a game as simple as Peach, to focus on it while also talking and stuff. But I found myself getting lost in the hub world a lot of like what level of stairs we were on as we were going up and down them. And it's just like, it just seems weirdly... like, I was getting lost in places that I feel like I shouldn't have been having any type of confusion. And I wonder if it's just... I'm familiar enough with games that like I know how they're supposed to work, whereas this one is kind of designed to teach people that don't know, hey, you can get lost. They're like, look for signs of how to understand what floor you're on or whatever. And also, don't talk to your friends about Tic Tacs while you're playing video games, all of that. But the action-y parts are really cool. And I feel like there was some thrilling little segments that none of them blew my mind. I feel like I was always still waiting. No matter how cool the ninja one was, I still wanted a little bit more from it. The sword fighter one, especially like when you go back as the sword fighter and you're in like a haunted castle thing, I was like, there's a lot of creativity here that you would expect from this team. But it's like, all right, better than I thought after the demo, not as good as I thought it could be before playing it. And I put it on my fantasy. Oh. Not contenders, but my fantasy draft. And I got points for it. 6 points on the board for all this right, one.
Good.
But
I feel like it's the most fancy version of one of those little battery operated Tiger
electronics.
9-in-1 games you get.
Yeah.
Because there's an action button and there's a
jump.
A jump. And that's action it. Could mean, hey, when you're in the cowboy world, that's lasso. Mm-hmm. When you're in ninja world, that's dash. When you're in this, like, it kind of just, like, you know, found a way to make everything work around those two buttons.
Which is brilliant, I think.
I think that makes things certainly a lot easier for kids to kind of get a grasp of.
And sure. I think because it really teaches them the timing and it teaches them the understanding of dodging and parrying and jumping and things like that. And because every level's kind of its own genre for the most part, like, I do feel like there's a lot of education value in the game that is fun. But I think that when you are more advanced than that, it can get a little bit confusing where you want to do a dodge, but it's like the dodge is the same button as the attack and things like that.
Tim had to remap his controls.
And that was another problem,
too. He, like, remapped his switch controls.
Oh, I've done it many a time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sick of fucking hitting the wrong. I mean, X, but
and then
a,
you get the button prompts up, and then you hit the wrong. It's like, you know, it's
the
just...
The button prompts aren't updating in real time. Well, not the switches.
And there was a way. There is a way to change the button prompts in the game so that it's, like, actually accurate, but we learned you can't, and we learned this after the stream, you can't do it in the options menu or the menu, the start menu when you're in a level. You have to do it when you're in the hub world, which I just... Why do we make these decisions? Just let the menu be the menu.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
if I'm realizing I need to change controls, let me change the controls when I need to.
Yeah.
You know what
that
I mean?
That makes sense.
So that all those little things bother me. But those little things add up. And I feel like those are the type of polish and, like, the bigger decisions that, like, I feel just are not looked at the right way for some reason, when it's like I feel like they could have been solved fairly easily. But it's cool. I do want to keep playing it. And you bringing up the Tiger Electronics games and stuff, like, I do appreciate the variety of levels. Like, I think that, like I said, more often than not, I was interested in the type of gameplay.
It looks, when I look at that game, like, this looks interesting.
Yeah.
It looks visually interesting.
Even it's presentationally, I think it's fantastic. They do a great job. Like, everything is on a stage. It's all a stage play.
The
so
all
the little cutouts of everything, it's just also, like, adorably done. And even in that little video preview that Barrett showed, I was like, oh, shit, she also becomes a ninja. There's not just...
Like a shinobi?
There's not just... Yeah, or whatever it said. It said Kung Fu Peach or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, a different...
Which I'm excited to play.
...that we haven't experienced, yeah. So, Greg...
Hi.
I know Tim said that he put that on his Fantasy Critic.
Yeah.
Where does that leave him right now? And also, every week, can we do a Fantasy Critic just kind of catch up so I can remember this thing exists?
Every week might be a bridge too far. There'll be lots of weeks where it doesn't move. But right now, Tim has a total of 13 points with two games in. Penny's Big Breakaway got him 7 points. And Princess Peach got him 6 points.
I don't know if I remember the login.
You're Google.
Did I mess anything up?
You have an Android phone, so I'm sure it'll all do.
Oh, I got Tales of Kinzera. Yes. Awesome.
I mean, you got Erdtree. That'll be big.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That game's going to bomb, dude.
Oh, I got an announced 3D Mario platformer. That is not looking good
for you.
Yeah, I picked up Mario Kart 8 or Mario Kart sequel around the time that it was rumored that the Switch 2 was coming out this year, but then I finally dropped it this week after
gave up the dream.
Weeks of denial.
Am I allowed to explain drops to me here?
So we were talking about this yesterday off camera. So I think...
Can I stop you real quick?
Yeah.
Just in case you're an audio listener and don't know what we're doing, you go to kindoffunny.com/... KF League 2024. We are doing a thing called Fantasy Critic. It is like a fantasy basketball or football team. Basically, if you remember a few episodes ago, we all drafted games, then we had a budget where we could bid on other games to fill out our squad, and now, of course, things are going. Every point that you get above a 70 on Open Critic gets you a point on your thing. There's some stuff about the higher points, but it doesn't matter for this. And every point below 70 would subtract points for your team. It's me, it's Barrett, it's Andy, it's Mike, it's Blessing, it's Tim, and it's Roger currently competing. Sorry, back to it, Barrett. Thank
you. So with drops, I think it's you get one drop for a game that is officially delayed out of the year.
Mm.
And then, or no.
I think you can drop anything that officially gets delayed, right?
Reverse that. It's one drop for any game on your team, whether it's... it hasn't come out yet, or if it's delayed, or if it's just like unconfirmed to like not come out this year. So that was my one drop, was the Mario Kart one, just because it's not like any time soon they're going to be like, oh, it's delayed out of the year or whatever, right? And then you get three drops of games that get pushed out of the year.
Okay. Interesting.
Very.
I'm going to need some new games to come out, to be announced.
Yeah, you got to get on there.
I picked up Sandland over the weekend.
I saw that. I'm actually so interested in Sandland after the SGF demo, let alone the fact there's a demo out.
Yeah. I played the demo. I did not love it.
Yeah.
It was just like, I don't know, man. It was a very, it didn't have great
demo from
it. It didn't have good direction.
Yeah.
This demo was just like wanting you to kind of, here's what this world is. Here's maybe this vertical slice of what you'll be experiencing. But yeah, it felt so lackluster to me.
Interesting. When I played at SGF, which is a short phenomenal demo. Yeah. I enjoyed myself. I was looking forward to it.
Art style.
I picked
awesome.
Up Cryptmaster. That's my most recent get over there.
Cryptmaster.
This is one that won the Independent Game Festival Award for Excellence in Design last week at GDC. If you were to Google and get the trailer up, I think you might remember it. It's the one where you're like picking words and putting them in there and doing them. I think it's going to do well.
Is there an award for this fantasy critically for like person who logs in the least?
No.
That would be a competition though.
Well, because like, oh no, person with most points that logs in the least. Because like, I think I'm in first place.
You kind of like set it and forget it?
Yeah. I think I'm in first place when it comes to like.
Right now, of course, Andy Cortez has 51 points. He has 20 from Tekken 8, 11 from Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, 12 from Under Night, Inbirth 2, Sizz Souls, and then 9, I'm sorry, from MLB The Show 24.
Come on, MLB The Show. You got to get, that's a guaranteed 15 points every year. What are you doing,
no,
MLB
not.
The Show?
The last couple of years, no, it's not.
Damn.
Currently with four games on the board, I'm in first place with 66 points. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth got me 26. Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth got me 20. Banishers Ghost of New Eden got me 10. WWE 2K24 got me 11.
And that's bullshit, because like, I didn't know I could do Like a Dragon. Was I listening to the rules, Tim? Not completely. But I was like, nobody's picking it here. That's kind of weird. I wonder if we came to an agreement before this thing started.
Baird, of course, is in second place right now. He has Persona 3 Reload got him 18 points. Unicorn Overlord got him 18 points. Balatro got him 24 points. But then he counterpicked Penny's Big Breakaway. That lost him 7 points.
Honestly, looking at the rest of the games I could have counterpicked, Penny's was probably the...
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, it was either that or Princess Peach Showtime, which I don't think you drafted in the initial draft.
Yeah,
so
I had to get it later.
If you want to talk about just the biggest loser so far, it's Roger. Roger Picorni, who's tripping on his way out here, of course. No games that he picked have come out, but he did counterpick Dragon's Dogma 2, meaning he has negative 18 points on the board right
now. Holy fuck. Start the season.
It's a long game, you know what I mean? Like, it's a long game. I have a lot of games right here. You know, Homeworld 3 is good. You know, there's a lot of advertising.
I love it. I love it.
Locomotive, big budget. Deck of Police, a game when I Googled JRPGs 2024. You know what I mean? We got a lot of good games coming up. And Dragon's Dogma 2, you know, who would have thought that game would have been good? You know what I mean? Who knows?
No, Hellblade 2, though. I feel like that'll get some good points on the board.
Dawn Trail as well.
To think of how we were making fun of Snowbike Mike for on the show, looking at his screen saying, what did he say? Hello Games 2024.
Yeah. Remember also when he tried to give you shit for
does everything.
When Tim drafted Shadow of the Erdtree and then he looked at you, he's like, oh, there's no way you were going to get that. And then it came
that
to
was
him.
Never falling to you.
Yeah.
Now you're in last play. You're the last one. That's never falling to you. Got I'm it. Going with Andy's. Man, it's a like, do we even get Silk Song this year? Which is one of his picks.
Yeah.
That was his first pick.
Can we go to mine? I want to look at it one more time, see if I'm feeling. Because, all right, I got Elden Ring, which I feel great about. Mario, got to move that. Metal Gear Solid, Snake Eater.
I am not feeling great about it.
You know what?
Chance.
I'm feeling like it's happening. It's going to happen this year, everybody. Penny's Big Breakaway. Oh, whatever. Points on the board. Indy. Yeah, okay, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Animal Well, people like it.
Animal Well,
I just don't
know
if it's coming this year. That's my only thing. I feel like we've seen this demo a lot. You know what I mean?
Did they not just put a date on it?
Did they? Did I miss that?
I thought they did.
They were on
it. I wasn't on the segment while they were here.
They were on it with us. I'm pretty sure they gave a date.
May 9th.
Okay, well, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's very good news for me. Peach, cool. Silent Hill 2. All right. I'm holding on to, I don't know. Tails, I'm feeling great about. Star Wars Outlaws as a counter pick. Doesn't seem like a good call. Passed him, but I'm not sure. There must have been a strategy. Must have been a strategy, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I think it was because it was slim pickings. You and I were the last two to do counter picks, and
So I'm just hoping it doesn't come out.
I
tossed you
into it because I also was. I personally wasn't wowed by Star Wars Outlaws.
Well, we'll have to stay tuned and see how things go in this fantasy league. Is this real life or is this fantasy? Let us know in the comments below what your fantasy league is looking like and what you think of ours and who you think is actually going to win at the end of the day.
Ooh, Hyperlight Breakers.
Roger, probably.
Yeah.
Roger ain't coming back from that.
We'll see, man. He does have those games. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.